Hello everyone, this is this is not quasi-indefatigable. This is the Life Autistic. It's episode number 683. I am on nice two-lane road. I like two-lane roads. I like them for a lot of reasons, but I'm on my way to Las Cruces for my, I don't know how long it's been since the last time I went to Las Cruces. It doesn't happen very often. Therefore, you know, it's been a while.
Oh, golly.
Gotta take a look to make sure I got the equipment that I really need. One of the reasons I'm coming is to get updated with my stuff. Take a look. There it is. Of course, they're going to say, Jay, that's your hard drive? You go, yeah, that's my hard drive. Look. It's a hard drive. It's kind of out of its case. I kind of slimmed down a bit because I really didn't need it to be huge. You know, in some weird plastic container that's supposed to be all spacey and new agey. But not necessary. I actually dropped that case. That goofed up the actual circuit in it that provided the USB connection to the drive. So I took that off, and what I was left with was the actual drive, and hooked that up with another USB controller that I have, and shebang, I had a new USB drive. Perfect. So, you know, I wasn't sad at all about circumstances. Anyway, so, that being said, that wasn't what I was going to talk about at all. Talk about something that that has come up. It was state conference weekend. Just before, we have wonderful, always have wonderful spiritual, uplifting, yet challenging state conferences. Things to work on, things to improve, more things to do. I personally got out of it the importance of prayer, and I have been thinking that many of my prayers are somewhat disjointed, scatterbrained. The Lord listens to my prayers and wanders off and says, I don't want to do this. He's just babbling. He's just babbling to me. And it's like, well, I need to do better. So I've been trying to do a little bit better, get to it. I'm not saying I'm doing a wonderful job, but I'm trying. The first night, Saturday night, the state president got up, and I think he was talking kind of along the lines of being one, and he said in relation to not creating differences between us, trying to look toward what we all have in common, you know, not having Hispanics just look within their culture for what they need and you know, white people in theirs, or, you know, people of a certain language group. You know, he was talking about the universal nature of the gospel and how one would, you know, how when you go someplace far away to a little country in the middle of nowhere, you know, you I took my loopy pills and I'm starting to feel them. I'm getting that cool loopy feeling. But I'm also feeling like that my knee is feeling a little better too, which is the important part. Kind of keep me still on my feet while my while my knee gets worked out. Anyway, so. Now, I was starting to feel kind of bad about the whole Zenith issue. Because in some ways, I have been looking at a certain separateness. I was working on, I don't know what to call it. I was kind of doing it along the lines of a speech. And it was going pretty well. And I'll try to give you the gist of it. Or at least I'll do an introduction, and the next episode, I guess I'll give you I can't really give you the speech, I don't have a text in front of me, but I'll give you the gist of some of the aspects of it, what it's trying to say. But I was a little concerned when I went to State College. I said, well, one of the points that comes up is about the feeling of separateness, the feeling of being different. It brings together people that feel different, but trying to convince them to do something that's a little more purposeful. I hope you've known that. On some of the podcast episodes that are actually about being Zenith, the whole point is that these attributes that we have, obsession, being really picky about things, and I've caught Lisa doing it too. She says I'm rubbing off on her. She got really kind of... somebody said something. Made reference to something. And it was a wrong reference. I let it go, but at least kept saying no. And she kept repeating the word, the correct term, for what was trying to be said. You know, no, 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 no. As if with her saying it, it would help them to say it right. But I notice that she does that a lot. I wonder if Lisa's a Zenith too. Just better, not as Zenith as I am. I don't know. Certainly, something for being anal, which I've kind of thrown that into the whole mix of being that might be part of the thing too. Is that, you know, you people are anal. It's true. Zenith people tend to be a little more anal about things, certain things at least, than other people are. Lisa's always weird about make sure that what you say is what you mean. And she isn't big about, you know, well, no, she's big about that, I guess, because she's had plenty of circumstances where something that's wrong is allowed to stand, and that people out there all of a sudden start saying, hey, well, then that's just the way it is, because that's what, you know, that person said, and I have to take their word on it, which is dangerous. And after I heard all this thing about not to focus on difference, I started to feel bad about the whole concept of Zenith, because I said, you know, in a certain way, that kind of centers on how different you are. And I was really starting to say, well, gosh, should I just... It was one of those things where I was saying, in the last episode I was talking about some thoughts I've been having about shutting down the podcast. Well, that just made it even more giving me another reason why, hey, you know, maybe I should just shut down this podcast. The whole idea of trying to bring up the fact that you're different when everybody says, well, quit getting weird about the differences. The most important thing is, how are we alike? How do we work together? How we can find common ground and stuff like that. But then after that thing, And I did try, and I did take what was said into account. I had to recall that I said, the whole point of Zenith is not to be divisive, and I've had to be really careful on this speech that I've done, and it's not really finished particularly. It's got some pieces to it. I really haven't been able to kind of bring it together. To say that that Zeniths are better than you or things like that. I'm just saying Zeniths have different attributes. And those different attributes are good things. We're listening to watching, sort of. Yeah, I think I actually watched one. A speech given by Temple Grandin. I've never seen her in the flesh. I've never been to a place where she has actually spoken. My wife has. Lisa has. If you have an autistic conference, that's somebody that your local autistic society, or in our state, in our universe, a state one, because even in our big cities, the autism group is just too small. You tend to bring in Temple Grandin. She's got speaking gigs everywhere. I don't know when she has time to do her job. I don't know what her job is. Maybe her job is to go around and do speaking assignments anymore. Maybe that's the basic gist of it. But she must be a busy person, because let me tell you, they always try to get her for my state's little autism conference, and I'm sure that's true of many states' autism conferences. If you don't bring in Temple Grandin, well, who are you bringing in? And I really have to say that I'm somewhat disappointed in Temple Grandin, just from the standpoint of her being a real cheerleader for an interventionist way of looking at things. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't teach kids how to read and write and things like that. I think we should definitely teach Zenith people how to type, how to read, and if they have the capacity for it, if they're more Asperger's, teach them how to speak. Now, speech is going to kind of come anyway. She was all about being socially acceptable, and I kind of cringe at that sometimes, because that ends up being the obsession of most autistic people. When I talk about that, I think that's one of the deep down traits of what constitutes autism, and what I think being a Zenith person is, whether you're disabled or not, which is what kind of autism is. Autism, in my book, is a Zenith who finds themselves disabled somehow and chooses to pursue that. Chooses to say, hey, my life doesn't work for me. I want special benefits and special consideration beyond what I think everybody should be getting, just from nice people, I want more than simple niceness and just simple common respect. I want more than that. And that's when you tend to go after a diagnosis. And I'm not going to jump on anybody for choosing to do that. Some people really need it badly. Other people don't. I'm kind of saddened by the fact that there are quite a few people who don't need kind of a disability label, that's not needed. They may need some, like my daughter Shana, for instance, needs some drugs to handle anxiety. And you go, but once she's on those drugs, she's quite capable, once she gets through a panic attack, of handling things for herself. You know. She often needs help, but it isn't help beyond what nice people can offer to just about anybody. She doesn't really need special circumstances, I think. Of course, that's totally up to her how she feels about it. So, yeah. Even though she might be able to be diagnosed as Asperger's, I probably could be too, the big question is, what am I really after when I do that? And do I really want that to happen? And I'm always more concerned about my employment. And if I decide to get some kind of a disability thing, if that's going to affect my employment. I know it's not supposed to. And you can sue people over it if it does. But honestly, you know, although you can get some recourse and you can say, oh, well, he was wrongfully, you know, terminated and they'll pay you, you know, several thousand dollars to leave them alone, you know, and just be done with you because they just don't want you around. That doesn't make up for the fact that, hey, I would just as soon keep the job, you know, I'd just as soon keep something to do to, keep me going. So, now I got to bring this all back to what was talked about in state conference and how I've kind of reacted to it. This kind of separateness and kind of loneliness, and it was one of the things that was talked about in state conference. Ends up being something interesting. Of course, you know, everybody goes with the assumption that if you're not surrounded by nice, wonderful people all the time, that you're going to be lonely. And then Lisa kind of leaned over and said, well, he's not talking about you. And it's like, well, yeah, I guess that's true. So, you can't apply everything. But, an interesting thing about saying, you know, he was talking about being a Zion people, which are people that are one in heart, and being united. And I kind of think of it along the same lines as how I handle work. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I handle it right or properly or in a way that makes everybody else happy. I tend to handle it in a way that seems to fit me. I'm not a team player, particularly. You know, I am more of a please give me a job and tell me what you want to have done, and then leave me to get the job done. And hopefully, I do a good job when I get that done. You know, I'm not gonna say, oh yes, and I do a wonderful job with that. I don't know. I get some feedback. You know, people might just be being really kind to me now, which I appreciate. Like, you'll never know. But, and I've talked about how much gratitude I have for the kindness of people. I'm especially grateful for Lisa. She really puts up with me. And she puts up with our children. Which I take most of the blame for the way my children are. I've got very odd children. And odd in interesting ways. Oh. Really kind of on the high-strung side, my children are. So, you know, there's that to deal with. And just everything else. Everything around the whole issue of my kids. Oh, excuse me. Oh, these loopy pills are just doing a job to me. Or I feel the feverishness in my leg going down. Oh, yeah. Excellent. I need to make sure that keeps up. But then I always come back to the whole idea of that there are certain things that Zeniths do better. There are certain roles that they fill that are good. Temple Grandin, in one of those talks where I kind of squirm and go, I don't know, I'm not saying she isn't right. I'm saying I just don't really like the whole take of it particularly. Not that I'm saying she's being dishonest. But she talks about in the beginning, do you like your cool little toys? iPods, cell phones, computers, television sets, things like that. Do you really like those things? Of course, people go, well, yeah, they're great. We love them. And you go, you have to think people like us. It says it's people like us that have the technical know-how, that seem to have the brain that can wrap around these kinds of ideas, these kinds of concepts, and bring these things to pass. We create those things. Kind of the product of the autistic mind. The ability to really get into something. And I find myself doing that all the time. I was just talking to Lisa last night and said, I've read some of the biography of Bill Gates, for instance, and he would talk about, how he did programming when he was much younger, I'm getting into the loopy stuff. Whew. How he would have these huge programming sessions, When he got into the groove of programming, he would do it. I mean, he would do it 24 hours a day for days. He said, I seem to think that, his life was sitting in front of a terminal typing out stuff and getting coffee, almost intravenously. And not even thinking about food until your body just started rebelling, You wouldn't go to sleep unless you just fell down, crash on the keyboard, Your head fall down, and when you get back up, the side of your face has the imprint of a keyboard on it because you just worked until you dropped. Boom. And then, of course, you wake up, you shake yourself off, and then you see where you were, how many K's got pressed by your cheek. You clear all that off, you take a look at where you were, and you go, oh, yeah, okay. And you get right back to it. And that's kind of the way that Bill Gates was, and I find myself doing the same thing. I've been working on a new server. This is really the first server I've worked on since, 1980, a long time ago. When I finally get that server kind of knocked up into the shape I want it to be, and I'll give you an announcement of how it's working and what it looks like. Stuff like that. Anyway. So, even though I was thinking there and saying, God, I don't know if I want to do, maybe Zeniths is just wrong-headed. After I listened to that talk, it was like, well, I don't know. Then I came back the next day while I was sitting there listening to actually the same speaker on a different subject. I decided that I was okay. I should probably proceed with Zeniths type thinking. And and I'd be okay. So, I want you to know that I'm not stopping the podcast particularly, but I'm definitely may get a little more pointed about what I'll be talking about. Anyway, so in the next podcast, I imagine I'll be talking about the speech I wrote. I'm not going to read it to you because I don't have a text in front of me. If I did have a text in front of me, I would. I would just read it to you. It'd be just, go ahead and do it, Jay. What the heck? Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. Maybe I'll just look it up and see if I can... if I can read it to you. I don't know. Oh, man, am I getting loopy? I'm going to have to pull over soon just to get a little bit of sleep, just so I can drive a little bit further. Anyway. Okay. I've reached my next little way station. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to episode number 683. Boy, I need to enunciate better. And you're listening to The Life Autistic. If you want to contact me, the contact email is autism@quix.us. You're listening to Jay Nemro. Have a great day.